This could take a little while. Just relax before the test gets handed out. Before I start, Catherine, wherever you are, thank you for playing Fish. I Will Make You Fishers of Men. I love it. It really is good. When I was a child, I was at my cousin's in Peebles, often for summer holidays, and the Salvation Army would come round the streets, and down we would go, handed tambourines and singing as hard as we could, I Will Make You Fishers of Men, and I loved every minute. That's where I get the tambourine love from. But to see these children singing and their faces light up, the enthusiasm and eagerness, it's a pity they lose it when they get older. But the reading today is from Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. And you'll find that on the Pew Bible, page 1032. The calling of the first disciples. And I promise you, you're sitting and listening and thinking. You're not bobbing up and down. That's for little ones. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, with people crowding round him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything, and followed him.
It might just happen yet. So, can I ask you a question? Who here has ever gone fishing? Just raise your hand if you've ever been fishing. And raise your other hand if you've ever caught anything. Now put your hands together to show me what size the fish was that you caught. Yeah? Oh, I can see a little bit of exaggeration out there. When I was a little girl growing up in St. Andrews, we used to go fishing off the end of the harbour. And we used to use these little wooden reels with the orange cord around it. Does anybody remember those? Yeah? Even as an eight-year-old, I thought to myself, what fish in its right mind will see this orange cord and take a bite? But actually, we did catch catch fish. We caught some crabs as well. And if the fish were too little, we threw them back. But if they were a decent size, we'd take them home to our mothers and say, here you are. And she'd go, thanks, but give it to the neighbourhood cats. Then I became a vegetarian aged about 12. And you'd think that would mean that my fishing days were behind me, but no. I went to America to visit my brother, and they were fishing off the dock. And this time I was given a proper rod, so we cast out and we caught fish called red snappers. And apparently they were extremely tasty, although I will never know that. Then one day somebody said to me, why don't you put a little bit more weight on the end of your line and see what happens? So I did. I cast out, and within moments I could feel this enormous bite. And even as a vegetarian, there was something quite exciting about feeling that bite on the end of your line. And I started reeling in and I could feel it wriggling. And I thought, this is huge. Whatever this is, it's enormous. And sure enough, it was the biggest eel you've ever seen in your life. I mean, my arms are not wide enough, seriously. So I had to reel it in down the side of the dock and land it. But then came my challenge. How do I get the hook out of that thing's mouth? Because it looked like it had teeth. And I wasn't going in there. So I had to leave it to die. And that was quite a sad moment because no one would cook it. And there endeth my fishing career. But I'm wondering if you find it difficult ever to share your faith with other people. Does anyone, if you're really honest, sometimes find it a little bit difficult to share your faith with other people? Yes. Fishing can be frustrating and difficult sometimes. A friend of mine called Chris Duffett, whose picture will appear in a moment, he'll be in the next slide, but this is one of his team members. Chris is a Baptist minister and he looks for every possible way to reach out to the community to tell them about Jesus. Now Chris, he was even president of the Baptist Union, but he will dress as a clown, he will eat fire, he will juggle, he will give people free hugs, he'll try many different creative ways to reach out to the community. Now, these three slides that you're about to see are something he did for Christmas. So he got some high-vis jackets, and he got people standing about, and he put a cot in the middle of the street with some traffic cones. And inevitably, people came up and said, what are you doing? He said, we're waiting for the king to be born. So they got into conversation about Jesus and the true meaning of Christmas. The next slide, he'd get a massive dressing up box in nativity costumes and he'd invite members of the public to dress up and have their photo taken. And this then led to a conversation about Jesus. Now the last slide might be my favourite one. Get some pebbles from the beach and paint them to look like babies, then get your community to do a Find the Baby Jesus treasure hunt and talk about the true meaning of Christmas. Now, Chris is a natural evangelist. It's who he is. It's in his DNA. Not all of us are wired that way. So what does today's passage about fishing? Verse 5. Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. Another translation says we've toiled all night. And there's something about that word toil that sums up the weariness. You can just see the calluses on their hands. They're absolutely exhausted. I don't know if when you were young, if someone asked how you're doing and you're having a really bad time, you'd say, oh, I'm really toiling. Do you ever use that expression? I'm really toiling. And to me, the picture in my mind is of someone wading through very thick porridge and making very little progress. It's just exhausting. My dad used to sometimes come home from work and say, oh, aye, it's a sair fecht. And I used to take the mickey out of him for saying that, but that kind of sums it up. They were toiling. They toiled all night and they caught nothing. So what did Jesus say to them? He said, go out again. He didn't just say go out again, he said launch out again. Can you imagine what Simon was thinking at that time? Again? But there are no fish, it makes no sense. There are no fish out there. There's no point. Anyway, we're toiling. But Simon says this, because you say so, I will let down the nets. Because you say so. So what level of faith did Simon have at this point? possibly it was only a mustard seed's worth of faith, a tiny amount of faith, but it was enough faith to see Jesus, hear Jesus' word, because you say so, I'll go out again. So he trusts Jesus' word and he launches again. And we see in verse 6, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full they began to sink. Why? But suddenly fish in what had hitherto been a completely empty patch of water. And more importantly, how did Jesus know that there would be fish there? He was a carpenter. He wasn't a fisherman. The people who knew about the fish in that area were Simon and James and John. So how did Jesus know? Well, we see a clue to this in John chapter 5, verses 19 to 20. And Jesus says these words, "Very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, and he will show him even greater works than these, so that you'll be amazed." So what was the reason they caught all of those fish? Jesus saw what his Father was already doing. Jesus heard the voice of the Father. So Jesus' words to Simon and the others carried that anointing. They carried that power. They carried the word of what the Father was already doing in that lake. See, that's between toiling and anointing. The anointing is the presence and the power of God the Father, Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, in any given situation. Have you ever toiled all night and you've caught nothing? All of you who are followers of Jesus have experienced this. Have you ever tried to share your faith with someone and it's a trochle. That's a Hebrew word. It's not really. It's a right trochle. You're getting nowhere. The doors are closed to you. You want to share your faith, but there's no openness in the other person. Perhaps maybe you're even lacking the courage to start that conversation. Perhaps you're afraid to be rejected or to be thought of as different or some kind of religious weirdo. It's not easy sometimes. But then think about the times where it's been really easy. It's just flowed. You've known that this person is going to receive the good news about Jesus. I think about my friend Claire. I'd known her for about 5 years, and she knew I was a Christian, but we didn't get into any great deep conversations. So she invited me to lunch this one day, and there was something about this day. I woke up and I thought, today's the day. Today is the day. Why? How did I know? Perhaps I heard the voice of the Father. So I had the Bible on tape because she had very, very poor eyesight and couldn't read text. So I put the Bible on tape on the passenger seat of my car and drove to her house. I didn't take it in with me because I thought that's a wee bit too in your face. But the moment I got in there, she said, "I'm so glad you're here. I've got so many questions to ask you. In fact, I went to see my parish priest and I haven't been for years. I want to know, what does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean? What's this Jesus business all about?" And it was so easy because she invited me to tell her. Right there and then, she gave her life to Jesus. She decided to follow him and devote her life to him. And then we prayed and she was filled with the Holy Spirit and she was literally bouncing down the street when she went to pick up her children. She was open because of the anointing. I'd heard the Father's voice. Do we know? Have you ever had the feeling, sense, or certainty that God wanted you to do something? I'm going to wear these then, I'll see what I'm doing better. Have you ever felt, I think there's something God wants me to do? You may be a bit unsure, but you've got the feeling? Yeah? And did it have a positive outcome? I'm guessing it probably did. You were following the anointing. the power and the presence of Jesus in the situation. Jesus only did what he saw his Father doing because the Father loved him and showed him what he was doing. So how do we know what the Father's doing? It's very simple. Ask him. Show me what you're doing today, Father. Perhaps I'm in 1650 coffee shop and a neighbour walks in and we fall into conversation. While you're listening to what they're saying, be listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit. What are you saying, Lord? Show me what you're doing here, Father. Follow the anointing. You see, this anointing flows out of your private times that you have alone with God. It's much harder if just once in a blue moon you're going to pray this prayer. But if in your daily times you're praying, you're reading the Bible, you're listening to worship music, you're aware of his presence, then it'll be a lot easier to hear what he's doing in your everyday life. It flows naturally. Jesus knew what the Father was saying because he took time away with him on a regular basis. It was more important to Jesus than food to spend time with his Father. Does anyone remember the famous phrase from a film, follow the money? Does anyone remember, follow the money? Martin remembers. Can anyone tell me which film that was from? I'm going to give other people a chance. I'll give you a clue. It's set in the 70s. It's two journalists on the track of political corruption. Fraser. Watergate. Do you remember the name of the film? Anyone? Martin? All the President's Men, well done, yes. The phrase from that film was follow the money, and the idea was if you follow the money, you'll find the corruption at the heart of Watergate. We're told follow the anointing to find the blessing. They caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. That's got the kingdom of God written all over it. It wasn't just a few fish or an adequate number of fish. There were so many fish that the nets were beginning to break. It's a bit like the parable of the sower. When you sow God's word into good soil, you'll get multiple return. The Father gives abundantly. The Father loved Jesus and showed him what he was doing. And he loves us and he'll show us what he's doing if we ask him and listen to him. In John chapter 15, verses 14 to 15, Jesus says this, "You're my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything I learned from my Father, I've made known to you. Everything I learned from my Father, says Jesus, I have made known to you," he said to the disciples. And I believe he says that to us too. Do you want to know what the Father's thinking about any situation? Ask him. Where the presence and the power of Jesus is, there'll be an amazing catch or harvest. And the best thing about this is he's calling us friends. Friends confide in each other. Friends tell each other what's on their heart. And that's God's heart for us, to hear what he's saying. Friends take each other into their confidence. Finally, they were able to bring in a huge catch because they did it together. Verse 7, they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full, they began to sink. Now, I have a favourite beach, and on that beach is a rock that I really like to sit on because it's sheltered from the wind. People can't see you. You can pray. You can talk out loud. You could sing if you wanted to. So if you think you've heard a mermaid, it's probably me. So on that rock, I felt that God was leading me to read the book of Luke. And I got to Luke chapter 5, and I was really struck by this passage. You know, sometimes you're reading God's word, and it goes bam. You just know it's a word for now. It's a word for today. You need to pay close attention. And what I felt God was saying from this was that in order to bring in the huge catch, we need to work together. Now, we're in a unique situation in Dunbar right now because we have at least two new ministers. We have Diana Hall at the Episcopal Church, and we have Neil Watson just starting at Bellhaven. And we also have Discovery Church, John Timms there. So there are new things happening in this town. And I've heard from many different directions a sense of expectation and excitement about what's going on in Dunbar. And also I've heard about it outside of Dunbar. How they know, I don't know. But I believe that we're in a new town, a new time. And it involves working together. Working together doesn't mean you agree with every single theological difference that you might have with other churches. These are our distinctives. These are what make us us. However, if we have Jesus at the centre and work together on projects, then I believe we will bring in a huge catch. And part of this process might be actually repenting for the division that there's been. Saying to the Father, I'm deeply, deeply sorry. I've wounded you, perhaps in repeating a story, perhaps in continually repeating stories of division. Or perhaps you've not done anything wrong at all, but you're repenting on behalf of your group of people. That's a biblical principle. But I believe he's asking us to repent for the division that there has been in this town. And that's a serious issue. In verse 8, it says, when Simon Peter saw this, that's the miracle of the huge catch, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. They were astonished and awestruck. They could see the anointing on Jesus and they could see the miracle. And they were struck by that and realized how sinful they really were. Just by being in close proximity to Jesus and his anointing, they could see their own sin. But Jesus' response to that was to commission them to go and catch people from now on. And you know what? They left their boats, they left their nets, they left everything to go with him. There was something so compelling about his presence. They gave everything up to go with him. So are you willing to make it your life's ambition to carry his anointing into this community of Dunbar? I'm convinced that if we work together, we're going to see a huge catch in this town. Great things are yet to come. Shall we pray together for a moment? Father God, thank you so much for the new opportunities that you're giving us to reach out to people with the power and the presence of Jesus and his good news of salvation and restoration for all people. Father, forgive us where we've not worked together as your body. Give us a brand new start, brand new initiatives to share our faith with our friends, family and colleagues and the people of this lovely town of Dunbar. In Jesus' name, amen. So now we're going to sing the hymn, You Are My Vision, O King of